Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Have you been blessed already? You don't sound like you're sure. Have you been blessed already?
Yes.
You know, the Bible says the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. It also says that whoever offers praise glorifies me. So we're glorifying God by giving him our very best, aren't we? And his presence is amongst us. So we shouldn't be shy or put off when it comes to praise and worship. Rather, we should be encouraged to praise God for all that he has done for us. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, continue to make us. I believe we are a people of praise. And may we continue to be a people of praise. Because a people of praise are also a people of power. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Turn your Bibles, please, with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. A very well-known passage of Scripture. I'm going to read it from verse 7 to verse 16. My focus verse will be verse 10, but we'll read verses 7 to 16. Are we there?
Yeah.
I think I was supposed to put it up. Okay, right, we're up there. Thank you. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Amen. Verse 10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." The title of today's message is Beware of the Thief. Beware of the thief. There is a thief around. We are used to, in the natural, aren't we, of protecting our possessions, whether that's our homes, our cars, anything we have, even our bank accounts, from thieves, from hackers, from predators. Because we know that there are people out there who want what we have. And they want to get it at all costs. Banks these days, I work in IT, and banks these days are so concerned about IT security, about hackers, you know, hacking into people's accounts, people's beat email systems, what have you, that they're all trying to work to do all kinds of things to make our accounts and our system so secure, so that only genuine people, only those authorized, have access to various systems. Because they know that if thieves break in, if hackers were to get in there, they could cause so much havoc to you, of course, and to the banks themselves. Our homes, we protect our homes, don't we? We lock our doors, we take out insurance, we keep valuables away, because we don't want thieves. We don't want those who don't own this to take it away from us. You think of your hard-earned possessions, things that you've labored for, things that you sweated for, perhaps. You don't want a thief just to break in and steal that thing. You don't want a thief to take away what belongs to you. Therefore, we do our utmost to protect our earthly possessions from thieves and from those who have no right to it. But I want to say this. If we spend so much time protecting ourselves from earthly thieves and vandals and hackers, what are we doing spiritually to protect ourselves from the thief that is out there. Who wants to us, it says in that verse, steal, kill, and destroy. What are we doing to ensure that the spiritual thief doesn't come and take away what we have? You see, because it all amounts to one thing, and that is this. The thief wants to take away what you have, and he wants to prevent you from having the privilege of enjoying that thing. That's what the thief does. He wants to come in, take away what you have, what you've worked for, what you've earned, so that thing, you can't enjoy it anymore. And sometimes you hear about people who've had burglaries, things have been stolen from them, maybe things that have been passed up from the generations. And they tell you that, you know, it's not just a simple case of just going to the shop and replacing it, because this has been in the family for generations. It does have the same sentimental value. And when you hear things like that, people seem to be so sad when thieves break in and steal. But people, if we're doing that in the physical, what about spiritually? You see, the purpose of this message, let me say this right now from the outset, it's not to make us so much devil or thief conscious, but we need to be aware. Because the Bible tells us that it's because of lack of knowledge that the people perish. His word also tells us that we should not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. When the Bible tells us that we should be aware that our enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It's people of God, that tells me that you and I, we have to be on our guard. Yes, there are people who take it to extremes, and I've said this previously, that everything that happens to them is the devil. If they were to walk and hit this chair, it's either that there's a demon in the chair or there's a demon in their leg. People can take things to such crazy extremes. The devil this and the devil that and what have you. There are times, yes, when things happen to us, it's our fault. Don't go blaming the devil. Leave him alone. Blame yourself. Because you caused it. That's by your ignorance, by your foolishness, by your unbelief. You know, it's your fault. But there are times when we know that we are laboring, striving in the spirits, and the devil seeks to try to put a barrier and prevent us from doing things. And we see that throughout scripture. When you look at, for example, Daniel, when he was praying and fasting, we're told, I think it's chapter 10 of Daniel, we're told that at one point the angel came to him and said, from the very day you cried out, your prayer was heard, but the prince of Persia withstood me for 21 days. We see Paul one time preaching and saying he wanted to go somewhere. He said, but Satan hindered us. So what we're doing, people of God, is we're making ourselves aware. In Christ, we have the victory. In Christ, we stand more than conquerors. But also, as we stand victorious, more than conquerors, we also stand aware that the enemy is out there and he wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy what we have. So what we're going to do, as God would lead us, is understand what it means when Jesus says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And more importantly also, how we can prevent ourselves from being victims to the attacks of the enemy. Now clearly when the Bible talks there in John chapter 10 about the thief, it's referring to no one else but the devil. Because he is the enemy of our souls. The book of Revelation calls him the accuser of the brethren. Who accuses God? Who accuses the people before God day and night? What did he do to Job? God said to him, have you seen my servant Job? Oh, of course Job serves you, God. Come on, look at what you've done for him. Take away all that he has and see if he'll serve you. So the enemy wants to do to put barriers, blockages in our way and prevent us from being the people that God wants us to be. The thief is no one but the devil. And when we read Isaiah chapter 14, when you understand who the devil was, Lucifer in heaven, how he fell from heaven, even in that description of him falling from heaven, what he was trying to do was to exalt himself above God. Even there in heaven, he was trying to steal what belongs to God. The glory belongs to God. He is the Most High God. There is none above him. There is none greater than him. There is none that compares to him. And yet, the devil wanted to exalt himself above God. He wanted to steal what belongs to God. And we see it even there. And when you read, if you read Isaiah chapter 14, you'll see that even there too, he tried to destroy and to kill the people. It's a description there. So it's nothing new when we read about the devil being the one to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he's wanted to do right from the beginning. Right from the time. But you know, the way how the thief operates, you know, they say criminals have a modus operandi, a mode of operation. The devil too has his own mode of operation. And two, if you like, two groups of people that he uses, and I think in these days quite effectively, unfortunately, two groups of people that he tends to use to get his message across are false prophets and false teachers. And that's where we need to be on our guard. When we hear someone say, "Thus says the Lord," is it really God saying that? When someone comes across and says, "God has given me this revelation. You can only hear it in my church. You can never hear it anywhere else. Come to my church for this special service. I'm going to give you this revelation from God." The Bible says there is no prophecy of the scripture that is of any private interpretation. The minute someone says to you that you can only come to their church and hear a revelation, that is a lie from the pit of hell. That is a heresy. Because God is no respecter of persons. And what God reveals to someone else, God can also reveal to you. There is nobody on the face of this earth who has exclusivity to the word of God.
Amen.
No one. So the minute you hear someone say, "Oh, but only come to my church, that's where you can only hear this message," that is a lie from the pit of hell. And what the devil is trying to do is use those false prophets and those false teachers to lure people away from the truth. To move them away from the lights. And what we do as God's people, as God gives us the grace and strength, is to expose the lies and the deceit of the enemy, and rather encourage people not to move away from the light, but to move out of darkness into light, to move out of bondage to the liberty that Christ has purchased for us. But people, we need to be on our guard. Because Jesus said it, did he not, in Matthew chapter 24, that in these last days there will be so many people that will come and say, "I am the Christ, I am he, I am the Son of God, I am this, I am that." And he says they will deceive many people. My prayer is that we will not be among those who are deceived. My prayer is that just as we heard, that we will be plugged in, and thank you, Pastor Brian, switched on as well to what God is saying, to what God is doing. So that when the enemy comes and whispers lies and deceits, we will know, no, that is not the voice of God. So let's look at what the enemy does. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The devil who himself, all he says, all he can actually do is just tell a pack of lies. In John 8 and verse 44, this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. He says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer," listen to this, "from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him." There you go, people. There is no truth in the devil. There is no truth in the thief. There is no truth in what he says. What he says is just full of deceit. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's where lies come from. He is a liar and the father of all lies. The father of all liars. It comes from the devil. Why? Because when someone tells a lie, when someone deceives, what they're trying to do is move you away from the truth. They want you to think that the deceit is true. They want you to think that that lie is the truth. And they do their utmost to try and convince you, so that you are really convinced and encouraged. Yeah, that is true. But in fact, people, it's not true. It's a lie. And it's a lie because it comes from the enemy. It comes from the pit of hell. So Jesus uses these words. He says he comes to steal. Let's look at the first phrase that he uses. He comes to steal. There is something you have that the devil wants to take away from you. It could be your joy. It could be your peace of mind. It could be your health. It could be your prosperity. It could be that he's seen you making progress in God and he wants to put an end to that. It could be that perhaps there are people here that used to spend quality time with God, and perhaps now it's a struggle. I remember a time I went through that phase in my life when, you know, it was so, especially when you just become a Christian, it becomes so sweet reading the Word of God. You actually enjoy it. And then all of a sudden, it's as if things happen in your life, and then you find yourself one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, you've not read the Word. And you think, God, what's going on? There's times when perhaps you really should get on your knees and pray, and pray, and pray, and pray. And then all of a sudden now, it's like, again, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, no prayer, getting on your knees is such a struggle. And they would come up with these phrases, well, God understands. Yeah, God knows the condition I'm in. You know, yeah, and yeah, I'll get there. And rather than us turning to God and listen to what God is saying and repent and ask Him to strengthen us, we keep on listening to the lies of the enemy, knowing that, look, something is wrong. Perhaps the devil is trying to steal something from you. He knows that when you're on your knees, when you're praying and when you're interceding, that you are a powerful man or woman of God. And He wants to take that power away from you. He wants to put that blockage in your way such that you lose your communication with heaven. The thief comes to steal. There's something you have that the devil wants to take away from you, people of God. We need to be on our guard, and we need to be aware of that. It also says that He comes to kill. And the word kill, interestingly enough, could also mean sacrifice. And it means this. There's times when we've come to Christ, and you know it truly, if you've come to Christ and you know Him as your Lord and Savior, there are things that you've given up. I've spoken about this previously. We sing that song, Goodbye Worlds. I stay no longer with you. Goodbye pleasures of sin. I stay no longer with you. There are things that we give up when we come to Christ. And what the enemy wants to try and do is make you pick those things up again. Those things that you've sacrificed in the past, in order for you to set your mind, set your heart on serving God. It's as if the devil wants you to break that sacrifice and continue doing what you were doing in the past. He's not interested in what you have given up to serve God. You see, because ultimately, understand this, people of God, ultimately what the devil wants to do is that he wants to stop each and every one of us from making heaven. That's his ultimate plan. He wants to stop each and every one of us from making heaven. But you know what? The Bible says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And my prayer is that each and every one of us here, we will endure to the end. It says, if anyone draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But I always like how that verse ends. It says, we are not of those who draw back to perdition. We are of those who believe to the saving of the soul. You see, verses like that encourage me because they tell me that, look, there is hope for you. Verses like that give me strength because it tells me that, you know what, we can make it. Don't let anyone say that this Christian journey is too hard, it's so, I just can't make it. Yes, you can in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible is full of the promises of God, full of the Word of God, full of hope, full of encouragement to us to know that, look, yes, however tough this journey is, whatever the obstacles are, we can make it to the very end. Yeah. Paul wouldn't say, therefore, I've fought the fight, I've kept the faith. Now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord gives to me. And he says, and not only to me, but also to those who love his appearing. People of God, we can make it. Don't let the devil whisper any thoughts in your mind that you cannot. Yes, you can. And yes, we will in Jesus' name. We will hold on to him. We will hold firm with him. We will follow him every step of the way. You know, when I was wondering whether I would share this, but I think I will. When I woke up this morning, you know, one of the blessings you have having children, young children, is that you don't need an alarm clock. They do all the work for you. And at times, as my wife said to me, you know, you can't have a lie-in. That's a luxury which is, for now, it's a luxury that I look forward to in a number of years. I'm not sure how many. But one day it will come, and I look forward to it, of course, if Jesus tarries. But one thing about it is I was, just this morning, lying on my bed, probably, I don't know, maybe 5:30 anyway, and one of my sons, bless his heart, came into the room. And I was actually dreaming just at that point when he came in. And I found myself, it was as if I was in a room in a maze, and I was walking, I was trying to find the exits. And I could see the exits, but I didn't know how to get there. Yeah, I could see, but I just didn't know how to get there. And then there was someone, a man, just standing in front of me, and he walks me through till I got to the exits. It was at that point I woke up, and what God was saying to me is this: if I hold his hand, if he leads me, I will get there. That was it. I still remember this. It was a very brief dream, if you like, but that was it. If I hold his hand and he leads me, I will get there. On my own, I couldn't make that. I could see it, but I couldn't get there. But with this man walking with me, I got there. People, God wants us to hold on to him. God wants us to hold on to him. God wants us to follow him. Because as long as we follow him, we will get there. It's guaranteed. Why? Because he has power over all. The thief wants to scatter the sheep. And by the way, we are the sheep, of course, because the Bible tells us, Psalm 100, we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. So we are the sheep, and the thief comes to scatter the sheep. The thief comes to also, he wants to confuse the shepherds to make sure that the sheep are scattered all over the place. He comes to steal, to kill, and ultimately, he wants to destroy you. So if he can't steal what you have, if he can't kill your joy or kill your resources, what he ultimately then wants to do is to destroy you. And you see what happens. One is progressive. And then secondly, ultimately what he's trying to do is get to the place where he destroys you anyway. So by putting these barriers in your way, by you not having joy, by you not progressing, by the things that you held there, that you got rid of, by you wanting to go back to the pleasures of the world, all these barriers he's putting in your place bit by bit, so that ultimately he destroys you. And rather than reigning gloriously with Christ, one is condemned to hell, but that's not our portion in Jesus' name. Ultimately, his aim is to destroy you. His aim is to scatter the sheep. But we need to be aware, people, of what the devil wants to do. But as I said, I don't want us just to be so devil conscious all the time of this. Because, I love God and I love the word of God and I love this, that there is always victory at the end of it. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the plan that the devil has for you. But what about the plan of God? I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. It's something that God gives us continually, that we have and that he calls us to enjoy. Contrast what the thief does, where he scatters the sheep, where he puts barriers in the way, where he prevents you from moving on in God. And now compare that with what God has done. He gives you life, and he gives you life more than enough. And to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. What is it in this life that you need from God? What is it in this life that God cannot do for you? And what God therefore is doing is calling us, in telling us about the thief, in reminding us what the thief does. He's contrasting that with what he has done, what he does in our lives, where he gives us the abundant life. The thief wants to destroy your life. God wants to give you abundant life. The thief wants to take away your joy and your blessing. God wants to bless you. The thief wants to put barriers in the way of where you're going. God wants to remove those barriers. The thief wants to prevent you from getting to the exits. God wants to take you to that very exit, to that very end. So in being aware of the thief, let's also be aware of what God is doing for us. Let's also be aware of the greatness of our God. The life that Jesus offers is a life full of meaning, full of vitality. The life that Jesus offers is a life that is rich and that is great and that is meaningful. One of the things in our society today which really is sad is this whole issue of mental health. I'm sure probably each and every one of us here knows someone who's had a mental health problem. Maybe you know someone in your family or a close friend or relative. I was listening on the news the other day and there was someone who committed suicide and they put it down to mental health. It's a real issue, isn't it? Well, the devil wants to play with the minds of people. And I've seen people who are... It's amazing how mental health changes them. I've seen people who are psychotic, who would believe all sorts of crazy, ridiculous things. And these were people who, when you knew them, they were, if you like, absolutely normal. You know, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, a mental health issue arises. And they start imagining things and saying things and doing things which are completely out of character. And I've known Christians in that situation. I have. I've known Christians like that. And my prayer when I see people like that is, Lord, please, may they not die not knowing you. I don't know what caused the mental issue. I don't know what caused the anguish. Whatever it was in their life, Lord, but I just pray that they will make heaven. Because having served God for so long, and then something like that happens, and they depart from the faith, it's really heartbreaking. And I say that because people, we need to bring our minds to God all the time. We need to ask God to renew, to refresh our minds in the name of Jesus. Some of us really need to change the way we think. No, seriously. Some of us need to change the way we think. When Paul said, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. When the Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, him whose mind is stayed on you. It tells me, people of God, that we need to really guard our minds very seriously and very carefully. Because that is one of the, if you like, the agents, the weapons, or the areas that the devil too uses when he wants to mess up the people of God. It is. And I'm sure you've seen it because I've seen it. I'm sure you've heard of it from people because I have. But people, there is a way out. People, there is victory at the end. There is. And therefore, we can come to know it. Be on your guard, people. Don't give up. At times, with our walk with God, yes, there will be times when it will seem like life is a struggle. It will seem like, come on, what's going on around me? Wasn't it David who said in Psalm 22, my God, why has you forsaken me? What about Job? And you read even Jeremiah and the prophets. There are times, yes, when it seems like you're all on your own. But people, what we encourage you to do is not to give up because God is with us every step of the way, even when it doesn't feel like he is. But in summary, what we're saying is this, people of God. Remember the God you serve. Amen?
Amen.
Remember the God you serve. Remember that, yes, although the enemy will try and put blockages in the way, the God you serve is more than able. We're singing this, Savior, you can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, isn't he?
Yes.
Do you really believe that?
Yes.
Well, Pastor Brian knows, I don't know about everyone else. Do you really believe that?
Yes.
That there's any mountain in your way, any obstacle in your way, he can remove it. Whatever it is. And who puts those obstacles in your way? Well, it's none other than the devil. It's none other than the accuser of the brethren. It's none other than the enemy of our soul. Because he sees, when he looks at you, he sees a powerful man, a woman of God. And this is why people of God, and I'm closing now because we're going to pray. This is why people of God, we need to come to a stage where we see ourselves the way God sees us. We need to stop looking at ourselves and seeing ourselves the way we think we are at times. Let me just say this very briefly. I know I'm slightly digressing, but let me just say something, and then I'm going to close. When the angel of God appeared to Gideon, the Bible tells us that Gideon was threshing wheat. The angel appeared to him and said, The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Question for you. Do you think that's the way he felt at that time? And I'm saying he didn't. And I tell you why? Because then he questioned the angel. He said, if God is with us, why has all this happened to us? Gideon didn't feel that God was with him. But you know what? God was. And there needs to come to a time, people of God, in our lives, where we see ourselves the way God sees us. Rather than seeing yourself as a weakling, as someone who can't do it, as someone who is always a failure, as someone who cannot make it, you say, you know what, in Jesus' name, I can make it because God is with me, because God sees me as a victor, God sees me as more than a conqueror, God sees me as a great, a mighty man, a mighty woman of valor, God sees me as someone who can overcome that mountain, God sees me as someone that my mind is stayed in him, where we confess the word over our lives, God sees me as someone who has the joy, the peace that he has given me, and we're now seeing ourselves, not as the world sees us, not as we want to see ourselves, but we're seeing ourselves the way how God sees us. And then what happens is that we rise up in victory. We rise up in the power of God and we move. We move the way God wants us to move and do the things that God wants us to do. And we therefore say no to the enemy who wants to steal, to kill and to destroy. You want to do it, but no, you will not succeed. Why? Because my God is with me and he's given me all that I need. Whether it's life, whether it's power, whether it's strength, everything I need for this journey, God has given it to me. Therefore, you, the enemy of my soul, you will not prosper. Amen. Though you try so hard, you will not prosper in the name of Jesus. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. See, God blesses us, not just in the world to come, but even in this world. God helps us and God is with us, not just in the world to come, but even in this world. Do we have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy all the blessings that God has for us? Why can't we enjoy them even here on earth? Do we have to wait until we get to heaven before we enjoy the peace and the joy? Yes, what we have here on earth is a foretaste and cannot compare to what happens in heaven. But I want to tell you this, even here on earth, God wants us to experience his goodness, his joy, his peace, his power, his love. Not just until we get to heaven. We want to experience it here. Why not? Because he's called us. He's blessed us. We are his children. If we are children, if we are sons and daughters of the living God, then there should be royalty around us in the name of Jesus. So people, in conclusion, let's rise our feet, please. I could go on and on, but I don't want to digress and just say all kinds of things. In conclusion, people of God, I want to ask you a question. Are you going to let the thief steal, kill, and destroy? Are you going to let the thief take away what God has given to you? Are you going to let the thief destroy what God has blessed you with, which is yours? Therefore, because the Bible tells us that we are heirs of the Father, joint heirs with the Son. There's a blessing that God has given us. There's prosperity that God's given us. There's joy, there's peace that God's given us. It is yours. It is yours, amen? Turn to your neighbor, tell them, it is yours. Tell them the joy of the Lord is yours. Tell them the peace of the Lord is yours. Tell them the blessing of the Lord is yours. Are you going to let the thief take it away from you? Or are you going to say, no, this is mine. I claim it. I'm going to live with this in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, just raise your hands and worship God right now. Come on, worship him. Worship him for what he has given you. Worship him for all the blessings, the joy, the peace that he's given you. You've had a rough time. Bless the name of the Lord. Because he has a plan for you. You've been through such hardship. Bless the name of the Lord. Because he's taking you through it. Things haven't quite gone the way you wanted them to go. Come on, bless the name of the Lord. Because in it all, he has a plan. He has a purpose for you.
All that God has given me, the thief will not steal, will not kill, will not destroy.
Say that over your life in the name of Jesus. Everything that God has blessed me with right now, everything that God will bless me with, the thief you are not going to steal, kill, or destroy in the name of Jesus. Make that declaration that nothing will be scattered. The thief comes to scatter the sheep. The thief comes to take away what belongs to you. No, you will not be victim to that in the name of Jesus. Exposing the operation of the thief. We will not fall victim to the thief in the name of Jesus. We possess the possessions you've given unto us and we hold on to them. Say, enemy of our soul, you have no rights over what we have because it was given to us by the Most High God. We will live in that victory, in that peace, in that blessing that you've given to us. And Lord, let your name be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' mighty and holy name we pray.